church.
But for those of us that made up our mind to come tonight, I'm so thankful you're here tonight to share a little bit of the word of the Lord with us this evening and be back in the house of God tonight. Amen. Amen. So I want us again to look at a few things this evening that I wanted to stick with tonight and just see what God would, how God would lead us. And before we do, I just want to thank God for you again and for the blessings of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For God's touch upon our life. Amen. Before I read, would you just stretch your hand this way and pray God's blessings over this message. And Shelby, I didn't forget about you. We'll pray in just a minute. So let's pray together. Father, we just love you. And we thank you, God, for your blessings upon us tonight. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that God, that you've given us the time and the wisdom and the knowledge to come here. And Lord Jesus, to share in the word tonight. Now, Lord, may this word go forth. May it become everything that you want it to be. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we thank you, God, for your multiple blessings upon us. And we give you praise for all that's been done. We ask you this in the name of the Father, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. So I think as I look around the room today, most everyone was here this morning, I believe. So it's not going to be hard for me to pick back up and talk about victory this afternoon. As I said this morning, that victory is not an event, but victory is a person. When I've looked back over the scriptures and things that we talked about today, and Paul ended that great scripture there in the book of Romans this morning, and Paul reminded us that we're not just survivors in Jesus. Paul comes back and says that we are more than conquerors. Aren't you glad you're a conqueror tonight? Amen. Then we see again in the Old Testament what Isaiah the prophet wrote about Israel. Even in Isaiah's day, there was still a proclamation that was made over the people of God. Now, as I walk through this, we're going to go to Isaiah 54 and 17 for that verse. But I want us to think about this for just a few moments. I don't know how you are, but I know how I am. So I can only talk to you about my experience. There's times in my life that I literally have to shake myself. I have to remind myself of who He is. Because if we're not really, really careful, the very enemy of our soul will constantly remind us of why we cannot have victory. You're not smart enough. You're not intelligent enough. You're not good looking enough. Come on, somebody. You're poor. You live in the bad part of town or whatever the case may be. Nobody likes you. You have no friends. On and on and on and on and on. And I promise you, if you will listen to the lie of the enemy long enough, he will do everything that he can to convince you of what he's trying to convince you of. He's always there. He's whispering in the ear of even the believer. Oh, I know what you used to be. You know what you've done, and nobody has confidence in you. I mean, it's like a broke record of how that the enemy constantly tries to tell you things that will degrade you and constantly try to tear you down. So here it is in this service and this evening that it's time for us to realize who we are in Christ Jesus. Amen. That we are the children of the Most High God. When we look at this, Isaiah 54 and 17 reminds us of how that God, even in Isaiah's day, who recognized that our victory does not come from ourselves, but our victory comes from above. It comes from God Himself. When we look at this scripture, we see that this is a promise made to the children of God, and it gives us the assurance that God is our protector. Aren't you glad you got an elder brother tonight?
Aren't you glad that Jesus is on your side and you're on his side? But in this, he's making a promise to Israel that no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. It is the word formed there, when you think about that, it is an organized plot or an organized plan of destruction that would come for your demise. And God is saying that even though the devil, even though Satan himself has a plot or a plan through even all of his principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness that we see in the book of Ephesians, God says that when you're a child of God, even all of these things, even though they're trying to form against you, he said that none of these things is going to prosper. Why? Because that old song says, we've sung it many times, that says, I'm covered. I'm glad tonight to know that I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. Amen. That Jesus Christ has covered me. That my elder brother is going before me. He walks beside me and behind me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, David said. But in this we see no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Now let me slow down long enough to say this. When you discern and when you detect spiritual wickedness, when you begin to detect something in your spirit that something is just not right, it's time for you to do an assessment of what's going on. And I believe in quoting the Bible. What about you? Looking up the Bible, and you can stand upon your feet, as the Bible teaches us, when you've done all to stand, stand ye therefore. Ephesians talks about that. I'm not going into that right now. But Ephesians talks about that. When you've done all to stand, you stand. And that word stand means to state your position and remain firm. State your position and remain firm. Look at the devil and say, I am a child of God. We could win so many spiritual battles, and we could live a life of victory if we would just understand who we are in Christ Jesus. I'm not the devil's ploy. I'm not the devil's, what's the word, toy this evening. I'm not his pawn this evening. I'm not to be used of the enemy. I'm not to be used of the devil. And I am not under the domain and the jurisdiction of the enemy of my soul. But I walk in the assurance that God is who God says he is, and that God promised Israel that no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment shall be condemned. And he says, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. I don't know if you understand, and I think you do, but we've got to be militant in our stand against the enemy of our soul. When we begin to look at this, the victory is ours. There's probably several things that I will not get to tonight. Don't really want to keep you here a long, long time. But we've got to understand, when we begin to look at this, that we are a child of God. We are children of God. Now, 1 John mentions this throughout the book of 1 John, but a couple of these particular scriptures I want to mention to you. And when you begin to look at them, we can begin to understand in the scripture that we can see this in chapter number 4. There's verses 1 and 2, and he begins to say this. He says, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they be of God. Because many false prophets have already gone out in the world. Hereby we know ye the Spirit of God, and every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. The next verse says this, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, and this is the spirit of the Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already in the world. Verse 4 says this. I mentioned this morning on the way out the door. Verse number 4 says that you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. What is that? The spirit of the Antichrist, the spirit of the age, the spirit that denies Jesus, that spirit that's out there, as Brother Scott mentioned in Sunday school this morning, that spirit that's out there to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But I thank God that John, the same writer of John the Gospel, comes back and he writes this in verse number 4, and he reiterates and he gives us the blessed assurance, if you will. He says that you have overcome them, again signifying that the children of God are overcomers. My question to you tonight is simply this: is there any overcomers in the building? If there is, wave your hand and say amen. Amen. Praise God. And my friend, every single day that you breathe, you've got to stay on top of that. Every day you breathe, is you've got to tell yourself, I'm a child of God. No weapon that's formed against me shall prosper. I am blessed of God because I'm the heritage of the Lord. And then he says in the scripture, because I've overcome the spirit of the Antichrist, no weapon that's formed against me will prosper. And then he said, because greater is he that lives within me than he who lives in the world. Amen. We ought to celebrate that. We ought to give God praise for that. We ought to celebrate because Jesus has already done everything that he can do for our victory. And Jesus, again, may I remind us that Jesus is our victory. He is our victory. People that don't know Jesus don't know victory. They don't know freedom. They don't know the feeling of, I guess, this, I know it's not a touchy-feely thing, but I am so glad that God knows our feelings. That God knows our feelings, and I still remember the morning I got saved. Even though I was 18 years old, and that's been a few days ago. But when that happened, I wasn't even expecting it. I wasn't looking for it. I went into a church service out of obligation and just because I felt like I was supposed to do it. But all along the way, it was God. And the morning I got saved, Brother Tim, it's like the old song says, and the burdens of my heart was rolled away. The burdens of my soul was rolled away. And people that are still in bondage and people that live under the toxicity of our world today, they don't know that liberating power of Jesus. We ought to celebrate God. We in the church today, we ought to celebrate God for what Jesus has come to do in our lives. And Jesus, the Bible said, that the strong man has been destroyed and the stronghold has been broken and the back of the enemy has been destroyed because of who Jesus is. And the Bible goes on to confirm to you and I in Acts 4 and 12. Even on that great day of Pentecost, and we see Peter's message as he starts there in the latter part of chapter 2 and he continues. And there was those that was refuting the fact of who they were saying that the disciples was. But Peter comes back and Peter confirms to them. And I love this. Peter knew the difference. Let me just say it like this, and I didn't write it down like this. There's a difference between the Apostle Peter and the denying Peter. There's a difference between the Apostle Peter here in this text and the cussing Peter when he heard the rooster crow. That reminded him of what Jesus told him that he would do. And the Bible reminds us that Peter went out and he wept bitterly. And he, no doubt in my mind, he rededicated his heart to God at that time. Peter come back and he was the apostle that led most of the early stages of the book of Acts, as Luke the writer wrote it, as he understood it. But Peter stood up, and Peter was the one that stood up and said, neither is there salvation in any other. That is a proclamation for the church today. That is a proclamation for the church to stand on. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's only one name that will deliver and one name that will set free. So this morning when we looked at that, we talked about this, and we know that we have been given the opportunity. And this is some of the things that I'll kind of skip over this, because this is some of the stuff I hit this morning. But sin, and this is one thing, I guess I'll go ahead and mention this, that God has liberated you and I, that sin, the old man of sin has been destroyed. He don't live here no more. And we look at this in the scripture again, sin in Romans 6 and 14. I'll go ahead and mention this one. Romans 6 and 14 says these very words. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under the law, restrained just to the order of the law, but you're under grace. But the point, again, that Paul was making there was simply this, that Timothy comes back, and Timothy, through Paul, he makes the same statement. If we're going to live in victory, we have to avoid those things that keep us in bondage. You know, in the realm, well, actually, it's common sense for the Christian that in the world of recovery, they talk about the people, the places, and things. That you've got to quit hanging out with the people that you used to hang out with, doing the things you used to do, and going where you used to go. But you know, in a Christian's life, that is a reality to all of us as well, because God has intended for you and I to walk in victory. Now, this is the latter part of this message that you didn't get this morning. So indulge me over the next few minutes. As Sherry said yesterday in the senior breakfast, she did a devotion. She had 7 things to talk about in 5 minutes. I got 8 things, and I don't think it's going to be 5 minutes. So the first thing is this. For those of you that was able to be here Wednesday night, you heard a little bit of this. But how are you and I to walk in victory? Romans 1, we mentioned this, and I had to go back to this because it's the clarity of it. Number one is simply this, that we cannot walk in the counsel of the ungodly. In the book of Psalms, chapter 1 and verse 1. We want to look at that again. Again, Psalms 1 and 1, verse number 1 of the Psalms. We mentioned this on Wednesday night. This verse in Psalms 1 opens up, and it kind of sets the precedence for the whole remaining book of the book of Psalms. But he said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. If we're going to walk in victory, we cannot get the counsel from wicked people. They don't know. They don't know what you know. They don't live the way you live. And God, through the writer of the Psalms, wrote this down. He says that we are not to walk in the counsel or the guidance of the wicked, because their counsel does not honor God. You want to walk in victory? You walk in things that is honoring God and what God says, and then you'll be blessed of God. Number two is simply this, that we are not to walk after the flesh, if you will. There's several scriptures in this, and I know that Romans 8 is a very large book, if you will, chapter, if you will. Romans 8 and 1, Romans 8 and verse 1, he opens up and he reminds us that there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. So we're not walking in condemnation. So if I'm not walking, Brother Ronnie, in condemnation, I'm walking in victory. I'm walking hand in hand with Jesus. Are we okay tonight? I know this is a lot on a Sunday night, but I'm walking in victory with Him. I think we need to check ourselves on a daily basis and ask ourselves this question. The things that I'm going, the places I go, and the things that I do, can I take Jesus alongside with me as I go do it? And if you can't, you don't need to be doing it. Come on, somebody. Help the preacher preach. Amen. But he says in this word that there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. When you look in Romans 8, we look forward to verse number 5. And I know this is lengthy, but forgive me for belaboring the point. But we see this again in this same scripture. When you pick this up in verse number 5 there, we see this. And this again is what Paul is saying to those that are in Rome. He said, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." I may not read every bit of this, but he's simply saying this, that whatever is inside of your heart, whatever you're doing in your life, the results will be whether you're walking by the avenues of the flesh or you're walking by the avenues of the Spirit. And then he says, "For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace." I love that. To be carnally minded is death. There's no victory in death. There's no victory there. And in this we can see that how that to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now I know, and I'm wise enough to know, that Sunday night is when the real Christians come to church. I realize that. But you probably don't even need this scripture. But it's a good reminder. It's a good reminder. It says, but they that are spiritually minded, they live a life of peace. How many of you like peace? Have you ever noticed, and I'm going to meddle for a minute, have you ever noticed people that dwell in wickedness? Have you ever noticed people that dwell after the things of the flesh? How much trouble it causes them. Let me ask you a question. How many people's ever went to jail for serving Jesus? Now, I'm not talking about martyrs. I mean, you've gotten arrested for serving Jesus. But how many people's gotten arrested for doing evil? People I talk to from time to time, I mean, people that get in trouble, and people that I tell, I said, "Man, you got to change the way you got to change the way you're living. You got to change your direction. If you're gonna follow the path you're on," I tell people sometimes, I said, "This is the best day you'll ever live. This is it. This is as good as it's ever going to get. But if you'll turn your life around and if you'll begin to serve Jesus, you're going to have a life of peace." When Paul again was writing this verse number 7 following, he goes on and he says these words. Verse number 7, and he picks it up. He says, "Because the carnal mind is an enemy of God." There's no victory in that. He says, "For it is not subject to the law of God, neither can it be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." Verse 9 says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. So if be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none his." But look at this. Verse 10 says, "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is alive because of righteousness." Verse 11, "But if the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth within you." Verse 12 and 13. "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh." Verse 13 says, "For if we live after the flesh, you shall die." Spiritually speaking. "But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the flesh, you shall live." That is wonderful this evening. So we look at this and we see how to walk in freedom and how to walk in victory. Number one, we don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Number two, we don't walk to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Number three, we walk in the Spirit. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? It means to be walking full of the Spirit. It means to be led of the Spirit. It means that the Spirit of God that dwells in you, the power of the Holy Spirit as a born-again child of God, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17, puts it in plain English this evening, and we understand it because he says this in 16. Again, Galatians chapter 5 and 16. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit." Walk under the dominance. Walk under the control of. Be led of the Spirit. And you'll live a life of victory. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be really, really honest with you. There have been times in my life, even as a pastor, that this did not come easy. Are we okay tonight? Amen. That this did not come easy. But there are times that I had to, if I use the terminology this morning, I had to shake myself. And I had to realize that the path that I'm on is not a path that's going to glorify God, that's not going to edify God. And I've kind of had to shake myself, if you will. I use the terminology, I've had to realign myself to get myself going in the right direction. I think about guys, I think about cars, I think about auto mechanics, not only because I have to have this done, but a lot of times our cars get out of alignment. You let the steering wheel go, I've done it. You let the steering wheel go and that thing will go over here. Let the steering wheel go. Because all that mechanical stuff underneath the car that I don't know anything about, it needs adjusting. Sometimes if we find ourselves drifting off path, God says, come unto me. I'll get you straightened right back out. I'll get you right back on the right path. Again, he reiterates this. He says this in the scripture, that I say unto you, walk in the Spirit. And then he says, and you shall not fulfill. You will not fulfill. You will not find yourself being satisfied with the works of the enemy. Oh, I don't like the devil. Me and the devil's on same ground though. We're on same understanding. I don't like him, and he don't like me. I don't like the devil. I don't want nothing to do with the devil. I don't want anything to do with evilness. I don't want nothing to do with wickedness. I don't want nothing to do with sin. I don't want nothing to do with anything that is contrary to God. And I'm going to be honest with you. I've lost friendships over whatever was an acquaintance. Family that don't sometimes even like you. But I made my mind up. I'm going to serve God. With or without people in my life, some people just need to go on. You need to go on. Can two walk together except they agree? There sometimes has got to be a great departure. If you're going to serve God, love God, honor God, give your life to God, walk pleasing unto God, those that are God's cannot obey the things of the flesh, and you cannot be in obedience to the flesh and obedience to God at the same time. Now that's the way I understand this book. If my misunderstanding of this or my interpretation of this is wrong, I'm sorry. Somebody help me. But it's either black or white. Lukewarm is going to get you spewed out of God's mouth according to the book of Revelation, the Laodicean church. Because he tells them, I wish that thou were hot or cold. Verse number 17, he goes on and he says this in Galatians. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. Why? Because they're two different things. It's like trying to blend oil and water. A mechanical thing again. It won't work. Somebody said a long time ago, I heard it, said the little boy said it like this. He said, Grandpa, he said, I try to do good. But he said, but it seems like inside of me, there's two dogs living. There's a white dog and a black dog. And he said, well, which dog's winning? And he said, whichever dog I feed the most. That'll sink in about 12 o'clock tonight when you wake up to get a drink of water. Oh, that's what he meant. Whatever you feed the most. And young people that choose to come to church, you need to know this too. Whatever you feed is what you're going to become. He says, but these things you can't do, the things of the world and the things of God. These are contrary one to the other. So that they cannot do the things that they would, or you cannot do the things that you would. Where am I at? Fourth thing. So how are we to do this, Pastor? Now, when I read this text this morning that I did not read to you again tonight, There's a part of this text that I wanted to read back to you. And this is in the text that we read to you in verse, this is 1 John 5, verse number 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. We do it by faith. We don't do it in our own strength. We don't do it in our own power. The Bible even reinforces this. In 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, very, very simple, short, straightforward verse of scripture. 2 Corinthians 5, 7 says that, for we walk by faith and not by sight. It's a walk of faith. You may not see the end results at the beginning of the trail. Let me say it like that. If you're walking a hiking or walking or outdoors, whatever, when you're at the first of the trail, you don't see the end. You don't see that. You just walk out by faith and you trust that it'll be there when you get there. We're not into heaven yet. We're not there. But God help us to get there. Are we okay? This one goes back with the other one in verse number, the third thing, but I want to mention it again, because the Bible teaches us that it's very important that we walk with like-minded people. Now, that don't mean that we don't love the people of our families. It don't mean that we don't love people of the world. But the Bible does remind us that it's very imperative that we don't get yoked together. Let me turn there too, because there might be another verse of scripture that I'm going to put in there with it. But it's very important that we don't get yoked together with those that are unbelievers, in the essence that they're going to pull us down, pull us away from God. Let me turn there. 2 Corinthians 6. I want to make sure I'm in the right place. 2 Corinthians 6. We look at this in verse number 14, if I wrote it down right. And I probably didn't, because it don't look right to me. Let me go right here. Is it right? He says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That sounds a little bit selfish in some ways by the world's standards. Are you telling me again, like I mentioned this morning, that are you saying that you're this disposition, or people that say, oh, he's just trying to be a holier than thou or something like that? I'm no holier than nobody else without Jesus. I'm no better than nobody. I'm no better than anybody else. But I do choose to live different than others. If we as Christians live our lives pleasing unto God, I do choose to live a different lifestyle. Are y'all okay? I know this is lengthy. I know it's a lot on a Sunday night. But it's just what God laid in my heart. So he tells us in the scripture to not be yoked together with the unbelievers. And then he says that in the word, and he says, For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Now, this was idol worship in the New Testament sense in the book of Corinthians as Paul was addressing them. But yet again, in the same sense, he's telling us today, and what concord, unity, fellowship have Christ with Belial, wickedness or evilness or idols, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel, which is an unbeliever? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. And God hath said, I will dwell with them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Then look at this. He teaches us as Christians, wherefore come out from among them, who? The unbelievers. Which again, I'll get to it in just a few minutes, but again, let me just go ahead and mention this, that we are not to be in fellowship with unbelievers. Now, what does that mean? That means in 2 Timothy, it explains it right here. 2 Timothy 5:22. And you can go ahead and go from there. But this is exactly what he's talking about. 2 Timothy 5:22. He begins to teach us in this again. We'll get there. 2 Timothy 5:22. Is that right? There's no such verse? Well, bless my heart. Let me look at it closer. 1 Timothy 5, it's not there, but I'll tell you what it says. Thank God I got it in my heart. I'll have to look that one up later. I don't know what I did there. I'll tell you what it is. I just made up a new verse. The Bible says that we're, and you can, she'll find it when I say it. She'll look it up. But he says that we're not to be partakers in other men's sins. What did I say? Well, there you go. That's why you got good help. Lay hands suddenly on no man. Oh, well, that's a good verse of scripture. Neither be partakers of other men's sins. And keep yourself pure. Ain't that a great way to start a new year? Keep yourself pure. Thank you, Kathy. You're my hero. Those that's watching online going, what in the world is he talking about? Well, you should have been here. Don't be partakers. If you're going to walk in victory, if you're going to walk in victory, and I hope that I got this one right. No guarantees. I'm going to look it up. I'm going to look it up before I even say it. I'm going to cheat. I'm going to make sure I'm where I need to be. This next one is it's not the exact scripture I thought it was, and I don't know why I didn't write it down there. But she'll find it. If we're going to walk in victory, we can't be yoked together. We got to walk by faith. We can't walk after the flesh. We can't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. The sixth one is simply this, that we cannot allow sin to have dominion over us. Again, Romans 6 teaches us that. He says that in Romans 6 and 9. And actually, Romans 6 talks about this a whole lot. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died and died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Verse number 12, we jump down and then he says, let not sin therefore reign in your live. Don't let reign set up housekeeping. Don't let sin put a chair in your living room and dominate you. Are we okay? And you say, well, we're the cream of the crop. We're the Christians on Sunday night. We don't need this preacher. Let me tell you something. If you don't need it, throw it to your neighbor behind you or throw it back up here at the preacher. Because I have to remind myself of this. Keep ourselves clean and impure, or keep ourselves clean and unspotted from the things of the world. Seventh thing is quick, really quick, is we have to allow Jesus to crucify us. Galatians 5, 24 and 20, through 24 and 25, he actually talks about that. And again, I hope I got this right. Galatians 5, 24 and 25. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh and the affections and lust. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh. We're not going to turn there because we've talked about that again in Galatians 2 and 20 where he talks about I'm crucified with Christ. The old man has been mortified. The old man has been put to death. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh and with the affections and the lust. Verse 25 goes on to say this. He says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us walk in the Spirit. And then the very last thing that I thought about is simply this. He talks about this in the book of John. Romans talks about it. It's all in Romans 6. It talks about a length of that. Romans 6 and 18 says, being made free from sin. Being made free from sin. He says that I have become the servants of righteousness. Shelby, I want you to come or make your way this way. Shelby wants prayer for Sue, her sister, as she comes and somebody be with her. But when we think about walking in the Spirit, it's a believer's walk. It's an everyday walk. And I've just given you some of my thoughts. But the last verse I want to mention to you is found in 1 Corinthians 15, and I think it's verse 57, if I didn't booger that one up too. 1 Corinthians 15, 57. But thanks be to God. Can you in this room thank God for victory tonight? Thank God for victory. Come on. Come on, let's do it. Thank God. I'm not living under the yoke of sin. I'm not living under the yoke and the bondage of the enemy anymore. But God, through Jesus Christ, He's given us the great victory. You think, well, do I always feel like the victory? Probably not. But you're always going to know He that's given us the victory. There's an old song that Pastor Dotson used to sing. I'm not going to sing it. I was, but I'll spare you. I'll tell you the words to it, maybe hum it a little bit. But it says, victory is mine. Let me just do it for a minute, because that's the only way I can do it. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. I told Satan to get thee behind. Victory today is mine. Joy is mine. Joy is mine. Joy today is mine. I told Satan to get thee behind. Joy today is mine. Then we would sing, the Holy Ghost is mine. We'd sing it again for about 45 more times, and we'd get to having a victory march, and we would have a Jericho march, and we'd come back, we'd preach again for about 20 more minutes, and we'd have church for another hour. I mean, that's the kind of church we used to have. But you know what? People left there knowing who they were in Christ. I want you to stand with me today. I want you to remind yourself as you go home tonight, when you get ready for bed, I want you to remind yourself of the victory. That in Him we live, we move, and we have our being. That the victory is already ours. Victory is not an event. Victory is a person. And Jesus is His name. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday night. And if you don't make it Wednesday night, I'll see you a little later in the month, I guess, about a week from now. So, or almost 2 weeks from now. God bless you as you go. In Jesus' name.